CliffCentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. How are we doing? Welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power outer. Outer. It's that sort of Monday. Biggest Power Hour, proudly brought to you by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace.
That's the one.
Joining me in studio, it's a thin studio today. Yes, this is an old voice here. It's an old voice at the helm. But Ty Woods, unfortunately, not joining us here today. He's a little bit predisposed. So joining me in studio, Drupal Seko. How are you doing, my bud?
I'm good, how are you?
Hey, look.
We survived the floods.
Where were you on Wednesday when that happened?
I was at work, actually.
Is it, eh?
Yeah, we're shooting. We had to stop rolling the camera and then waited for the... Because the roof was going bazonka, so the sound was going crazy as well.
Oh, yeah, no, you just can't manage that, eh? Yeah. It's absolutely intense.
But I was scared by what happened to motorists out there, to some cars out there. Jeez, hey, what do you do in a flood? I mean, I saw some pictures and some video clips doing the rounds.
Oh, they were all over the social networks, eh? They were intense.
Yo, no, but that's scary, Chad. That's really scary. I mean, I saw the one car spinning in some puddle, and these guys were sitting on the open pan. You know the
flatbed of that truck. Yeah, I saw that video. Absolutely nutty. I mean, that the water has that power to just spin. Okay, go on, it wasn't a big car, but spin a car like that, like a top.
Yeah.
Imagine you were in there. Your weight's not going to make a difference
to what.
And, you know, my heart really goes out because how many mothers with toddlers and children and that. And it's so easy to, this is so left field and it's so unexpected. Panic sets in.
Yeah.
And you struggle to think clearly and logically and rationally. Sometimes it's really, really tough. So, you know, I'm really, really thankful that the losses were as small as what they were.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, there's over 150 vehicles, and I'm hearing there's two deaths.
Yeah, and the two losses there. Swept away by the flood and somewhere in Alex.
Yeah, so, you know, all around. But, and, I don't want to get political about this.
But get political. Come on.
We've got a voice, and we actually need to get it out there. Yeah, okay, so, you know, we're going to go out there, and while these are my opinions and not necessarily that of the hosts of the show and the sponsors of the show Auto Trader, but myself, the infrastructure is there. People are sitting there saying, oh, yes, but why are we paying e-tolls, et cetera, et cetera? The Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project, GFIP, was supposed to fix all these problems. That the highways are fine. The highways are okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is the maintenance of the highways. And the fact that these spillways haven't been addressed
and maintained.
The municipalities are taking a reactive instead of a proactive approach.
Yeah.
So, they panic. And I mean, I drove down and we actually, Lawrence and myself, we actually took a drive through Eastleigh and Edenvale. We wanted to see what was the damage.
Mm-hmm.
You will be surprised at how high that water line was. As soon as the water subsides, it leaves all the flotsam and the scum and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So you can see where the water line was.
Sure.
I tell you what, to sit there and imagine that water line was
above
my car. You know, I'm sitting in a nice SUV this week, but above this car.
And what's the
car,
like 1.5-ish?
Yeah, it's about 1.5, 1.7. Yeah, you know, so well above that. Well above that. You can sit there and say, that is problematic. But you sit there and you look at all the debris in that, and you're sitting and saying, municipality, why are you being reactive? Because we climb back on the highway, and all of a sudden, there's SANRAL with their bunch of little worker ants up and down, busy cleaning stuff up now with nice big sticks so that they can unblock the holes between these concrete bollards that they've put on the side of the road, on the side of the highway, that is basically just creating a bathtub.
Mm, it is.
It's not like Armco barriers that it can spill and run off the road. It just starts, and as soon as it gathers momentum and there's more water, you've got flooding. It becomes this
these cars will
river.
But you know, talking of cleanliness, I mean, I saw the one road. I think it's London Road, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere
in
Alexander.
That was the area. Yeah.
Now, some cars that were parked on the side of the road actually were moved by the water.
Yeah.
Now it tells you that the drainage system as well. Now what I've noticed is litter.
Yeah.
Litter, when it gets thrown into those pipes, it blocks it, and that water has got nowhere to go.
Exactly.
So it'll stagnate. It'll stagnate and form a river. And
where's it going to go? Where's it got to go? It's only going to go up. And up is where the problem is.
Yeah. So we need education on that. Eh? We must educate the municipality.
We need
the people.
We need a proactive municipality in, be it from governmental to municipal, you know, so that the funds aren't squandered.
Yeah.
So that there are the funds to sit there. Send the crews out. And I don't know what it is about South Africa that we don't like working at night. This is Africa. We should love working at night.
You're right, hey, because the sun is terrible during the day.
Terrible during the day.
It's cool at night.
It's cooler at night.
And there's less traffic. You can do a lot of... Wow, air, actually.
You know what? If I was sitting there and I was in the position, run shifts.
Yeah.
There's a day shift.
Yeah,
there's a day shift manager. You can run 3-4 shifts during the course of a day.
And things get done quicker.
And you get stuff done.
Yeah.
Overseas, and I know this because I was living in the USA, and we sit there and they warn you about roadworks. But you look at the times and you're like, from 2300, what do you mean you're going to start working from 11 o'clock at night?
But it makes a lot of sense, eh?
By 7 o'clock the next morning when you're driving on that road, the work's actually done.
Yeah.
They're out of the way. The lanes are open.
Yeah.
They work through the night. Why can't we do that?
Yeah. Now, back to motoring. Jay.
Yeah.
You're a mother or you just a normal Joe Soap, and then here you are. You see this dip, and by judgment, you look at it and think, I think my car can make it through there. Like, what are the things to know, to worry about? How much must you know about your car? You know, what your car can do? You need to know so much.
It can only, depending on the vehicle that you're in, it can take as little as a foot of water to displace your vehicle, depending on the speed that is traveling at.
True.
Water is a disturbingly powerful force. All you need to do is to see what happens to beaches. What is a beach? Broken up rocks thanks to water and current.
Sure.
Okay? And shells and that. That's what it can do to, you know, hard-wearing rocks and that.
Mm-hmm.
What's it going to do to your little one-ton car? Heaven forbid you're in a hatchback or something of the sorts. Yeah, it's going to wash you away.
Sure.
A foot of water can displace you, depending on how it's traveling.
Here's a good example. I mean, when you go to skid pans, they just splash water there and cars go flying everywhere. Now,
you
can imagine,
only need a very small amount.
Sure.
I mean, a centimeter, 10 millimeters of water is enough to cause handling issues on your car, naturally dependent on speed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's say you're crawling along and there's a foot of water. If you see and you're going through a little bit of a subway or a dip or something and there is water, maybe wait for somebody else that's in a bigger vehicle. No, you will get your 4x4s or your trucks that are actually made for traversing these sort of things that will go through it. Judge the water level with a larger vehicle. Okay.
Yeah.
If you are in one of those,
it splits the water and you can see.
Yeah. If you are in one of those larger vehicles, you need to know what you're doing and be aware that this could take you out. You got to try and stay as high as possible. So if you pull off the side of the road and get up onto the, almost not the embankment, I'm not saying drive up onto the embankment, and that can be just as dangerous. It can wash you down.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's a hard shoulder or something, move over to it. Take the off ramp. Stop. Don't be in such a rush to get somewhere.
Especially when the water is moving, hey?
When the water's...
Yes, see, that's even scarier.
And the thing is, it starts moving very fast.
Yeah.
Because it runs exponentially. So, you know, it may seem like it's just trickling now, but right behind it is water that's also trickling. Those two little trickles make a little bit of a passage, give it a stronger run. And all the water constantly joining it, and it hasn't stopped raining, so it's just adding to it. Just speeds it up, speeds it up, speeds it up exponentially. Okay? Stay in the vehicle. Tune into the weather stations. Listen for the radio. We've got smartphones with us, and this is the one time, once you have stopped, okay, we are going to advocate, get onto your Google Maps, your Google Alerts, your weather alerts. See what's going on.
Kill the engine.
Kill the engine. You can kill the engine.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't walk. Don't climb out of your vehicle. Don't walk in the water unless it's extremely shallow. Okay. If your vehicle's surrounded and you're caught in a traffic jam, you can get out of the vehicle if you see that this water is rising.
Mm.
Leave the vehicle, grab possessions, move to higher ground. Okay. That's if traffic jam, you know, if you're not moving.
Like that one by the, I think there's some interchange there where these cars were just jammed behind each other. You could see, I mean, the water
then
literally
squashed. Yeah, then you don't want to be stuck in your vehicle, okay?
Yeah.
If you can still move and the traffic is still flowing, keep flowing, okay?
Mm.
When it's stopped flowing, you need to assess and see if you need to get out of the vehicle and get to higher ground. Your vehicle can be replaced.
Yeah.
Your life cannot, okay?
Sure.
If you're stranded on an object above flood water, such as a tree or a building, stay put and wait for rescue. Do not enter the flood water. Okay? It's like those guys on the back of the truck. Don't go and hop on top of it. Okay?
I mean, did you see there's a picture?
Yeah, I mean, it's piling cars on top of each other. It's absolutely insane.
I mean, the water is covering completely immense this Toyota Taz. And you can see this water is actually moving. Now, I mean, you open a window, you try and open a door, you're that's it. Eh? Your car is done.
Because now, that's the thing. You need to sit there and you need to remain calm. I think.
Yes.
I'm no Bear Grylls, and I'm sitting and I'm trying to give you the most logical reasoning that I can with a little bit of help from the internet in what happens here. But I did go and watch a video, and there's a lot of talk. Your car happens to be driven off a bridge, or you're caught in a flash flood or something of the sort. What are you supposed to do to get out of, how do you survive that? And the old saying was that, or the old theory was that you wait until the car has filled with water. Because that equalizes the pressure.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't open the door up against the water. Yeah. Okay. Wait until the pressure equalizes, then open the door, then exit.
Mm.
Okay. Or wind down the window. If you've got manual windows, great. Most cars have got electric windows. By the time that car is submerged, chances that your electrical system is going to work is very slim. Sometimes they will. Some cars will, some cars won't. Mythbusters showed some cars will, some cars won't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it all depends. But.
So wait for it to fill up and then open the door.
No, don't.
When you say fill up, you mean water inside the car?
Water inside the car to equalize the pressure. Because the big problem is you can't open the door up against the pressure of the water on the outside. It's like somebody holding that door closed.
Yeah.
So you need to wait for the pressure inside to be equal to the pressure outside, and then you can open it. Okay, it's a little bit sludgy, but the problem is that car needs to be so stationary. It needs to be on the bottom of that dam or that lake, and it needs to be there for about 30 seconds before it equalizes.
Sure.
Hold your breath that long in a panic situation. You can't.
Yeah.
Best bet, undo your seatbelt.
Yeah.
You don't want to be caught in your car.
Ooh.
If starts flooding in that, we're going to excuse you as long as you're not driving and doing speeds. If you're just crawling around in traffic, prepare.
Yeah.
Get the windows open. Okay? Mm-hmm. Even if it is just a little bit. And if you see that the water is rising rapidly, open the windows, let it in. You're going to lose the car, people. Yeah. Okay?
So forget about your car now. It's time for your life.
You need to don't hold on to it. Don't sit there and faff and, oh, my pair of Prada shoes are in the boot. They're gone, sweet cheeks.
No, what shoes you like? Of all the things.
I just picked one. They were going to be Gucci's.
I thought you were going to say my laptop or something.
The laptop, the bread, the milk, the shoes, whatever.
You can buy them again.
You can get them again.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The car can be replaced. Mm. Okay?
Mm.
Get the windows open. Allow the water in. Okay? If you got the water that's rising rapidly, allow the water in. That's going to make it easier. The sooner you open the door, the better. Okay?
Hmm. So it's better that this water catches you with your door already open. Because then it takes less time to equalize. I mean, to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, you can already get out. Okay. But if the windows are open and it starts rising quickly, you can also climb out the window.
Hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you climb out the window onto the roof. You're at a high spot. You can assess from there. If it's getting much higher, this is, of course, when you're stopped and you're stuck in a spot.
Yeah.
You've been trapped now in an area you can't get out of it. The water, if the water rises up to about wheel height,
yeah.
If it starts trickling in by the door,
yeah.
chances are it's too late already.
Sure.
It's starting to attack the electronics of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And that vehicle could die on you at any moment. And that's why you also don't want to be driving through a puddle of water or a body of water that you're unsure of how deep it is.
You don't know if there's a puddle waiting for you there.
Take a look at these 4x4s and our 4x4 drivers. They're going to know all about this.
True.
They've got the snorkels on top. Yeah. Why do they have these snorkels? You know snorkels.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They're built exactly for that. Yeah.
It's built for traversing water and they know what and it's called a wading depth.
Yeah.
And they know what their wading depth is. Okay. I can do 600 mils. I can do 800 mils. We're talking 800 millimeters.
Yes.
We're not even talking a meter.
Yes.
A 5-6-year-old is a meter tall.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Chad, if the water is tire, wheel high, and then you can see, maybe one car has made it through, let's say maybe a truck or a 4x4 has made it through, and you realize you can kind of, like, because if it's above a wheel, chances are your exhaust pipe is already immersed, right? Now, the issue is.
Think of how many electronics are sitting there.
Yes.
Your starter, your alternator, there's so many electronics and sensors. And with the way that cars are built, yes, they're built to handle the sort of weather and that, but it's called closed loop systems. So your parking sensor is connected to your headlight, which is connected to your ABS, which is connected to your inside clock, which is connected to the Bluetooth, which is connected to your phone. It all runs on one system. It's closed loop system.
Mm.
One of those needs to go and cause havoc or send a bad signal and it can mess up something else.
Yes.
So you need to be quite wary. I mean, they vehicles are built to withstand heat, cold, wet, dry. But not to extremes, yeah, folks.
Yeah. Not
your car's not invincible. South Africa, I mean, Joburg drivers have this big one. I'm in my car, I'm invincible. All you need to do is drive through Rivonia on a Monday morning at 7 o'clock, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
But now, look, I suppose, I mean, all these cars, especially new cars, are nice and sealed because of the wind speed. Yeah. But now, when
pretty well sealed.
Yeah, but when the water's above wheel high, it already goes through from underneath.
Yeah, it can come in from underneath.
Yes. It's some scary stuff, eh?
Interior of a car actually cannot be watertight. Because that's dangerous. That's a suffocation issue.
So the issue is stop. Don't panic.
Main thing is don't panic. Assess the situation. Be alert. Stop sitting there on the phone, texting, etc. You've got to get out of here first, okay? Mm. You've got to get out of here. You've got to make sure that you have an escape, a contingency in play. Can I make it to that off-ramp to get to higher ground? Is the traffic stuck? Yeah. Is there something ahead that's now caused an issue? Am I going to have to abort? Am I going to have to get out of the car? Yeah. And like we said, the sooner you get out of the car, if you're stopped, the better.
The better. Okay? And also, if you haven't stopped yet, I think maybe give yourself enough three-car space in between in case if water floods you, then it doesn't pull you. Because I've seen how cars just jam up behind each other. And they start hooting. People get impatient. Whoever is assessing the situation is in front. People behind them get very hard falling.
They're not assessing the same situation in the same way.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend, if this rain... Keep an eye on the forecast because, folks, we're not out of the woods yet.
Yes, okay? Because they say today 60% rain again.
We are on the back of the El Nino, and we're going into the La Nina. Mm. Okay, and La Nina is going to give us the floods that we're looking for. Yes, okay. And the people that are on social media that are sitting there whinging and moaning, oh, all this rain, but it hasn't filled up the vault. Yeah, but it's because it's raining in the wrong place, people. Understand catchment areas. Okay? Read. Pick up a book. Just because you can see it, our dear Minister of Agriculture and whatever, doesn't mean that it's actually falling in the right areas. And yes, the people that are whinging about Sterkfontein opening up and sending water to the Vaal, this is going to happen. It's what it was built for. Mm. Okay, we'll get water to Kwakwa. Yeah. Relax. Okay, relax. We'll get there. We're not stealing your water. Okay, we're making sure you get grain and maize and all that sort of stuff. So... just be very, very vigilant out there. Folks, please ensure that your tires, there's going to be a lot of rain. Please ensure that your tires are in good condition. Yeah. I know we stress this so much. Yeah. It is your only contact with the road. Go out there and make sure. Take a lunchtime and pop into the Tiger Wheel and Tire, the Hi-Q, the Auto Equip, something of the sort. Have somebody check them out. They're going to do it free in Mahala, okay? It's your peace of mind. And if they sit there, they're not going to try and con you into, listen, oh, you need to buy a brand new set of, you know, the most expensive tires. They're going to suggest the best comes at a price.
Yeah. Look, when I took a trip to Mafeking about a month ago, and then I popped in, I'm like, let me just have my tires checked.
Yeah.
These guys went underneath and said, listen, do you realize your tires are worn? But now when I look from the outside, I'm like, no.
That's exactly why I say take it in.
Jeez. And I went underneath and I saw these almost like wires popping. I had to replace two brand new tires. But when you look just from the outside.
Because your alignment was out.
Yes.
So your alignment is out. Go and have your alignment checked. And trust me, when you're driving in the wet, your alignment makes the world
of
difference as well. Okay. One, it keeps the tires in contact with the road. It reduces your fuel economy. So I don't know why people aren't regularly, every 3 months, checking their wheel alignment. Every 3 minutes.
Mm.
It takes Saturday afternoon, a Thursday afternoon, something of the sorts.
20 minutes, 30 minutes.
20, 30 minutes and you're in and out.
True.
It's not that expensive. Go and do it because... trust me, over the next 3 months, you're going to save the 200 rand that it's going to cost
Absolutely.
You to do the alignment.
Absolutely.
In your fuel economy and in the long run in your tires.
Mm.
Because there, you thought your tires were great and you still had 20,000 Ks on them.
Sure.
But you just had to fork out a couple of grand to go and replace them because they were wearing off wrong.
Yeah.
But where they're wearing off is where they're making contact.
Hmm.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
That's where they're actually making contact with the road. That's why they're wearing off there. So you need to go. You didn't have any traction in the wet.
Yes.
I'm sorry that I'm scaring you now, but this is what people need to realize.
True.
And your alignment, wheel alignment, is so easy. And it's so easy to wear down the inside of the tires because it all happens. It's called the toe on the car, and that's how your front wheels point. Whether they point out like a duck's feet,
mm-hmm.
or whether they point in like a
soccer player's legs.
Like a soccer player's legs, like a supermodel, okay? Walking down the ramp.
Yeah.
That's your toe. And if your toe is set, if your toe is bumped out, and that can happen, climb into driveways, speed bumps, I'm not saying pavements, dips in the road, and that can push that out. So progressively over time, it pushes the toe out.
So it's important
out.
To check them every three months, you say?
And setting the tow, are they going to charge like 100, 120 bucks to set the tow? That's one of the quickest adjustments. If there's big adjustments.
Is those machines that way, it shows green and red on the.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they put it on the ramp and that, and they use lasers and that.
So worth it.
It absolutely. And trust me, in terms of driving and driving fatigue. Oh, it's not going to pull the car off to one side or anything of the sort. And that, now your car tracks nice and true. Nice and true. You won't believe the difference that it makes in your fuel consumption, your tire wear, fatigue, and on the rest of your components.
Handling of the vehicle handling, is
absolutely,
beautiful. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So go and have that checked out. Go and have your tires checked out as well. Okay. And if you do have the time, go and have your electrical system checked out. Okay. Just make sure that everything is fastened and tightened and in order. A general auto electrician will be able to go over it and he'll put a multimeter on a couple of points. And just with that multimeter, he'll be able to say, you've got a bad connection somewhere between here and there.
Because of the recent rain.
Whether it's recent rain, just age, those plastic plugs get brittle and something of the sort. You know, we're sitting in South Africa. It's a hot country. So,
and hitting those puddles at high speed. I mean, the water pressure, because... I mean, as you say, tires is your only contact with the road. Now, when there's water, there's now that middle thing. Geez, you...
It can push the entire car up. And that's why you need good tires, is to push the water out instead of pushing it down.
Mm.
If it pushes it down, the tire is actually lifting off.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's why you need your minimum of 1 millimeter tread.
That's like a matchstick.
That's a matchstick. Yeah. I don't even trust a car at that level. I want it to be sitting there. New tire is going to come out with about seven to eight mils of tread on it. 5, 4. I'll work with that. I don't like driving in the wet with a tire that's less than that because aquaplaning happens so fast, folks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap that. We're going to try and post a couple of tips on our Twitter. So please do follow us on the social media channels at AutoTraderSA, at TruePaw, at Chad Lookoff if you want to get involved with me. And I'm also going to share a couple of these other things. But it's been a busy week.
Yeah.
Tips, it's been a busy week and everybody's been running around waving their handbags in the air with their hair on fire. South Africans.
Burning flags in the...
Donald Trump.
America is being trumped, people.
And right there, we just lost half of our listenership because the people are so gutful of hearing this palaver that they've just gone and switched off and said, this is supposed to be a motoring show.
Yeah.
Okay, dial back. All right.
Starach, kom terug.
We're going to touch on this briefly. Yeah. Gareth was in here. We had a nice heated chat about it. Trump's not the worst thing to happen to you, America.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Get over it. You're too easy. You're so quick to be offended. You're so easily offended. Neither of the candidates were great. Okay. You were pretty poked either way. Okay.
Look, some people did not choose Trump. They rejected Hillary.
That's a great way of looking at it. Okay. It's basically the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
I don't care who I vote for as long as it's not Hillary.
Yeah.
And I think there were a lot of Hillary voters that were pretty much the same. I don't care who it is as long as it's not Trump.
Yeah.
And they voted Hillary, you know. So there wasn't as much of an abstinence as what I thought there was going to be. But facts are facts. It's done now. Mm. And I'm personally, on a political note, I'm quite keen to see what he does for the business and the economy.
That's the thing. See, he's a businessman. So he needs to run this country like a business.
The guy understands entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the small, medium enterprises may benefit from this in the long run.
Mm.
The man's not as bad as he's made out to be.
Yeah.
He's not as great as some of the other people say, the pro supporters and that. But I'm keen to see what he does as a business because the American motor industry could really do with a nice little bit of a high as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit and Detroit Motor City has just really taken a major knock. So I'm quite keen to see. And he's opened up already a couple of bridges with outside countries again. And you know, they're willing to open negotiations and talks and that.
Mm.
So this could do wonders for their export and that. And this could do wonders for us as well in terms of our export. And just saying that, we've got no point to criticize. We've got old Jay-Z. We gave him two terms, people. Okay?
No, that's the right thing. We gave him. It's so true.
Exactly. So we can't sit there and whinge about how dare you guys vote for that. Well, look who we voted for. Come on. It's the pot kettle black. You know, it really is. Okay. So, but one of the strange things, what can Donald Trump not do? What do you think he can't do?
Yo. He can't look. Let me tell you, as much as I don't like him, but I like the fact that he's straightforward, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't. I don't think he's got it in himself to lie about what really pisses him off.
Possibly.
He's straightforward.
But I'm saying, as a president, what can a president not do?
He can't be groping girls like old
grab them by the...
By the essentials.
By the essentials, yeah. Well, there's a couple of things.
Yeah.
He can't revert. He can't go back on a law that was passed by the previous president.
Yes, yes.
It has to go through Senate, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. He can't just suddenly impose a brand new law and make life hell for everybody. Mm-hmm. It has to go through. The president is also, the president cannot use an iPhone.
Yeah?
Huh?
Why?
Barack Obama uses a BlackBerry. And we're going to talk more about BlackBerry later on.
I'm so sorry, Barack.
Because he's not allowed to have a device that has a, not allowed to carry a device that has recording capabilities.
Why not?
He's the president.
Comrade, see.
So Obama was using a BlackBerry. I'll feel for the oak.
Oh, a black president.
Imagine that.
BlackBerry.
The thing was like, the thing was like constantly plugged into a power supply.
Shame, man.
BlackBerry's
never had
any battery life.
Yeah. But I mean, on the other hand, yes, he doesn't need a phone, but I mean, I don't understand
not
why.
Not quite, he doesn't need. But you know, he wants to keep in touch with the daughters or the wife or something of the sorts. Okay. So, President Trump, President-elect Trump, that iPhone of yours?
Goodbye.
Sorry, dude. No more Tinder, no more Snapchat.
I think he's going to break those rules, that one.
No, he can't. It's a matter of national security. And on the topic of national security, the president is also no longer allowed to drive. He will be driven. He's no longer allowed to drive except on a golf course, a golf cart, or in a controlled environment, or in the White House estate.
You are joking.
I kid you not.
Shame, man. That's
Barack Obama, 8 years, no driving.
Yes! See.
All of a sudden, I don't want to run for president. You tell me that for the next 4 years, goodbye. I cannot drive.
Yeah, no, goodbye.
No, I'm sorry. You can keep that job.
Jeez, that's terrible.
So that really is.
So it's obviously a safety reason.
It's a safety reason, yes, of course. I mean, and cars are volatile and they're quite dangerous in that. So they get driven around and the presidential limo is pretty much like the Pope Mobile.
Yes, see.
It's an intense thing.
Yes, see, the thing those things
I want to go through quickly before we take an ad break. I want to take a look at what went into the beast.
Yes.
Now, the beast was, of course, the big limousine, which was the Cadillac limousine that Barack Obama was around in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't he bring two when he came over here?
Yeah, no, they were, correct. Yeah, when he was here, they shipped them over. Costs more than £1 million. Okay, so we're looking about $2 to $3 million each, okay?
Yeah.
18 feet long. It's 5'10" high, so it's about the height of a average man. I'm about 5'9".
Yes.
So, you know, it's just an inch taller than me. Weighs 8 tons.
Yes.
It weighs 8 tons because it's got 8-inch thick armor plating in the doors.
The doors only. Because
doors, windows, the whole works. Okay.
But so, not your fenders and your bonnets.
All of it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is armor plated. Okay. So I'm going to run through it quickly and I'm going to talk. There's a little bit of an infographic here. Inside, as big as this car is on the outside, inside, it's the size of a compact sedan. Okay. It's a little longer, but width-wise, you're sitting right on top of the president here.
Sure.
That's how thick those doors are. They say that those doors weigh the same as a 747s.
Sure.
This is a car door, people.
Yes, see.
Neidung is duck. All right. So it's got an armor-plated fuel tank, and it's filled with a specially designed foam, which prevents it from exploding, even if it suffers a direct hit.
That's clever.
All right. The rear compartment seats the president and up to 4 passengers with a glass partition. Only Obama has a switch, to lower and a panic button installed. Okay. The doors are armor-plated, 8 inches thick, and the weight of a cabin door on a Boeing 747 jet. The chauffeur is trained by the U.S. Secret Service to cope with the most demanding of driving conditions, including escape and evasion and 180-degree J-turn. That's one of those movie maneuvers where you reverse and then you lock up the brakes and you spin it around and then you bang first gear again.
In that 18-foot-long thing.
In an 18-foot-long, 8-ton diesel Cadillac. I want to see the man do that.
What does it sound like? I mean, where does he get trained? Can we see?
I want to see the training. Yes. I do. I want to see the training. I want to see this oak throw this thing
around. It's a movie on its own. I mean, oh, man.
Because this is the equivalent of an airline pilot doing a barrel roll.
Yeah.
The driver's window can withstand armor-piercing bullets and a 44 Magnum. On the weekend, I went shooting at the range. 44 Magnum. That's a bit of power there.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I can handle that. It's the only window that will open and just by 3 inches. In other words, McDonald's drive-thru sucks.
Sure.
You know, 3 inches. You've got about...
Let's see.
What's that? That's 7.5 centimeters.
Yeah.
It's like the thickness of your phone.
Sure.
The width of your phone.
Sure.
Okay. And this is just so you can pay a toll or talk to the Secret Service agents that are running alongside the car.
So the prison's windows do not open?
No, highball. Not a chance. The bodywork is military-grade armor, at least 5 inches thick, a combination of dual-hardness steel, aluminium, titanium, and ceramic to break up potential projectiles.
Sure.
The driver's compartment is has a standard steering wheel, but the dashboard contains a communication center and GPS tracking system. Okay. The tires are run-flat tires with reinforced Kevlar.
With what?
Reinforced Kevlar, okay. So like a bulletproof vest.
Jesus!
Okay. They are shred and puncture resistant with steel rims underneath, enabling the car to escape even if
it's been shot at.
Been blasted something. Away.
Jesus!
Okay. This is serious. Defense accessories. It's equipped with night vision cameras, a pump action shotgun,
yo!
And armed with tear gas cannons.
Yo!
Bottles of the president's blood kept on board in case he needs an emergency transfusion.
So, okay. Obviously, then I think that comes with training. He can do that himself, I suppose.
Well, no doubt. Yeah, I don't doubt that the driver chauffeur is capable of assisting like that. The chassis is reinforced steel, has a reinforced steel plate that runs underneath it to protect against bombs or grenades rolled underneath it. All right, in the rear seat, Obama has a state-of-the-art satellite phone and direct link to the vice president and the Pentagon. Okay, so I mean that's quite
yes.
Now you know why it's called the Beast.
Yeah.
Now we don't know what. Trump's vehicle's going to have. Apparently, all we know is that it's going to have a license plate that reads Trump Card. That's all we know. There's been a couple of spy shots, but they don't know what tech's going into it. But there's a lot of speculation, and we're going to hear shortly. So we're expecting that plus more. And if we take a look at the way that autonomous is going, don't be surprised to see if there is some sort of autonomous system that's installed into Trump's car. So while we go to a bit of a break, I want you to think, and hit us up on Twitter and that, if you were the president, what would you want
in, your,
in
vehicle?
Your presidential vehicle? And what would your vehicle be? At Auto Trader SA, get hold of us on Twitter. We're going to take a bit of a break, and then we're going to be back with you in just a few moments' time.
So, T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader. Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Why, thank you, Tepo.
Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Well, there we go. It's like there's an echo in here. All right, so we're doing a little bit of news and reviews and that. And a little while ago, while you guys are still thinking about what you would put in your presidential vehicle, of course, don't forget to hashtag AutoCentral. Makes it a little easier for us to find it, so we're going to take a look at it there. But we're taking a look at the Renault Kadjar. Now, we've spoken...
That's a funny name, eh?
It is strange, but I mean, yes. Renault's coming up with quite a few strange names. So you've got Captur, and some people are calling it Captur. Captur... Kadjar, we got the Kwid now. Now, the Kwid recently released, and that's now a compact crossover, but it's coming in major budget. Mm. We're talking about like 120, 130,000 rand for a brand new car.
Sure.
Yeah, no ABS, but...
No ABS.
Proper budget, my friend. I know, that look on your face, and if we had a camera up here, you'd see the look, but it is just a case of...
But I must say, with Renault, well, we call it Renault.
Yeah, Renault, however you really want to do it.
Because Renault, Chad, is R-E-N-O, as you know, English or French. Let me tell you what I really love about Renault.
We were talking about your email address just now, and we were saying, like, the difference. What's a P-H-O? And
yeah, your, P-H-O.
P-H-O.
Polo-holo, yeah.
Polo-holo. So you sit there with Polo-holo, and I sat there going, four, because P-H is F.
It's an F, yeah.
So...
Yeah. See, must make up your mind in English. F is an F, PH is a PH. Finish in Latin. Now, I mean, I'm talking about the frontal look of Renault cars.
Oh, they're starting to look really good, hey?
Oh, man. Those lights, just this whole structure. Mm. It really is striking. And when you see it in your rearview mirror, come behind you, like, that looks beautiful.
But that's the one place now where you're able to see what is now the lower end of the Renault spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking your Sandero's, the Kwid now as well, Duster. Mm-hmm. They've got one particular look with slightly squarer sort of headlights and front ends and that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to the slightly higher one, so you start talking Clio,
yeah.
Megane, the new Megane.
Oh!
Oh, hubba hubba. good-looking vehicle. That Renault is making some absolutely stunning cars.
And I like the way they play with colors as well.
Yeah,
right?
No, they do. They do. But, I mean, you take a look at the Captur, and you take a look at the Kadjar. Mm-hmm. These are really good-looking vehicles. And I really do like the way that it looks. The thing is, with the Renault Kadjar, essentially, underneath all of that, and just about every journalist or review that you read or see about it is going to tell you the same thing. It's a Nissan Qashqai underneath. And it is. Renault and Nissan are in bed. Okay, so they share motors. They share a lot of technology in that. You know, I don't want to say big buddy-buddy, but one owns the other.
Yeah.
Okay? So you've got the platform and the drivetrain and the running gear and all that sort of stuff from a Nissan Qashqai, which is a great car. The Nissan Qashqai is a fantastic car, provided you don't get it with a CVT gearbox, because that one's just a weak link.
Mm-hmm.
The Qashqai as a whole, great value for money. It looks good, drives well, spacious, it's well trimmed, it's beautifully bolted together. And when do Nissans go wrong?
True.
They're pretty robust.
True. Yeah.
So this,
and consistent in the
very consistent. Yeah. Almost so consistent that they're boring.
Yeah.
You know? And it has to be said.
I mean
a Nissan Almira, come on, that is a Retmobile through and through. That is not exciting at all.
He says, "What do you do in that car?" He's so hilarious. The poor Almira.
Arma Almira. But really, it's nice and robust, and that's one of the things. Renault's got a bit of a bad rap in South Africa because they suffered with a bit of reliability, but it was largely down to dealer network. Yes, the Frenchies did have a bad spate of things. Renault, Citroën, Peugeot, they all had a bad spate, and that was around about 2002, 2003, just after that, up until about 2009, 2010. But the last couple of years, they've addressed these problems. So, folks, you don't need to be that scared of it.
Yeah.
Does make it a fantastic second-hand buy if you can find a 2-3-year-old one, because sadly they don't hold their value as well. Yeah. But that is changing. In the same way that it changed for Volvo and Hyundai and Kia, it's changing now for the Frenchies as well. And that's fantastic. Go and drive the Kadjar. It is a cracking vehicle. Now, the reason why we're actually reviewing this, it's not a brand new vehicle, but they recently introduced the EDC gearbox, which is the efficient dual clutch gearbox. So it's essentially like a DSG dual clutch. So you got your paddle shift in that. And it's really not a bad gearbox. The big sign of a good automatic gearbox is one that you don't notice. I could catch this gearbox out. I could. If I was really trying.
Yeah.
Every now and then, if you're like on a bit of an uphill and you take your foot off the brake, it would roll back a little bit before it realized
it kicks
there's
in.
Movement
oh,
and
I
kicked
see.
In. But and that makes it a little tricky. It shouldn't be doing that, in my opinion. But we'll forgive it because the rest of the drive is actually really, really good.
Yeah.
So you've got it with two options. You've got it with that 1.5 diesel motor. Now, that's the same motor that you get in the NP200. There's so many Nissan models that use that 1.5-liter DCI motor. That motor was even used in Mercedes-Benz.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Heaven.
Your A and B class and some of your, I think it was your C class, your CDIs, I think it was the 180 CDI, had that motor in it.
Oh, wow.
So it's a solid motor. Yeah. It's a cracking motor. So you can get it with either that 1.5 diesel, and that one makes, let me just get the numbers here, that one makes 81 kilowatts, the DCI. But I was driving the one that makes 96 kilowatts.
Sure.
And it's a 1.2 liter turbo petrol. And it really is. It's the one that I prefer. You would think that it would be good with the diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah, a nice automatic dual clutch gearbox in a nice sort of compact SUV with a nice diesel, small diesel motor. That's like a good combo. The petrol motor for me was actually better, hey?
But then
I really enjoyed it. It seemed nice and peppy and nippy, and it suited the gearbox really
well. But at that size in this petrol motor, your fuel consumption is pretty...
Was actually great, hey?
Whoa.
And that's why I would take it, because it returns sort of... diesel-like fuel consumption figures. I'm going to find the figures here quickly. Now, they're quoting extra urban, which is like highway and that. They're saying 4.9, whereas averaging 5.5.
Sure.
And I mean, 5.5 on a petrol motor is pretty good.
Oh,
I mean, that should be diesel figures.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got pretty dang close to that.
Hmm.
5.7, 5.8 is what I was returning, but I was doing the mixed.
Yeah.
I was doing some stop-start stuff. I was doing some highway stuff. What a pleasant car. It's a tough fight. I'm going to put it over the Hyundai Tucson. I'm sorry.
Oh. Wow. Even with looks, I must say the
Hyundais look good.
Oh, it looks very good. The Tucson looks very good.
I'm actually sitting now in the Kia Sportage, the new Kia Sportage, and I think that is a stunning looking vehicle.
Yeah.
It's got traits of Jaguar F-Pace and Porsche Cayenne in it. You know, if you look at it...
And it's nice, like, and high, eh? Hey?
Yeah, it's a very, very nice vehicle. I'm not too fond of the motor in this one, though. I think this is the wrong motor if you're going to
what
take...
What motor is it?
This one's got the 2.4. The 2.4 naturally aspirated motor. I think if you take it with like one, the you've got 1.6 turbo petrol.
Yeah.
So essentially like your Hyundai Veloster motor, because Hyundai and Kia, they share a lot of things as well. They share designers, and that's why the Hyundais are looking so great and the Kias are looking so great. And they're Germans.
Yeah.
That's why this thing is starting to look like a Porsche.
Oh.
Okay. But a fantastic looking vehicle. I love the way it looks. It drives really, really well. It's a little bit pricey in places. I would take it with a different motor. I'd possibly take it with a 2-liter diesel motor. I'm not a big fan of this motor. But this Kadjar, I'd put it over the Tucson.
Wow.
But I wouldn't put it over the CX-5.
Ah.
CX-5 has still got my vote on that one. So comes in at 399,900.
And the interior?
Fantastic. Very, very nice. There's a couple of weird switch layouts, as the French do.
Yeah.
But as a whole, really nice. 400K is going to give you nav.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So 400,000 Rand for the Kadjar. That's the 96 kilowatt TCE Dynamique Auto. So the Dynamique is a nice, a high spec level. Yes, you've got a couple of options. I think you can spec up the wheels, and I think you can spec sunroof in that.
Yeah.
But there's not too much in the way of major options that you can sit there with.
And nudge bars and stuff, does it come standard with those?
No, you actually don't want it on that. You don't really want it on that. It doesn't have the look for it.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a soft roader, and it's only for two-wheel drive. So it's not a 4x4.
But it's nice and high-ish.
No.
It's clearance good, can get you through.
Good ground clearance in that. I don't know if they actually list the ground clearance here. Let's see if we got it.
Yeah, because for that height, I mean, you can make it through a couple of flooded highways. And, you know,
we've got 200 mils ground clearance.
Yeah.
And 200 mils is 20 centimeters. That's still not a foot, eh?
Yeah.
Which means that a foot of water, 30 centimeters of water, is catching you 10 centimeters into your components. Remember that, folks. Remember that, okay? So that's not too bad. But we're going to swing things over to briefly talk about tech.
Talking tech on Auto Central.
Shortest break in history. So, one of the things that just sort of came across the table here that I had a bit of a chuckle. They don't give you much news on it, but Ford has recently released Sync 3. I haven't had a chance to play with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sync 1 was the small little screen in the center of the dash. It was a valiant effort, but I'm going to quote Top Gear here, ambitious but rubbish. Okay. It was fiddly. It was difficult. I looked at it and I was like, this looks like a Texas Instrument scientific calculator. Okay.
And it'll force you to stop and look at it in the air.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I wasn't a fan of it, but I did prefer Sync 2. Mm-hmm. Sync 2 came along and it had a nice big screen. It was touch interface, very customizable from the colors to the backgrounds and quite a logical layout. Microsoft based.
Okay.
So it was Microsoft based. Sony and Microsoft worked together so that they could sync things together. But I'm reading here and it seems that Panasonic has now tied in with Sync 3. So away from Sony to Panasonic, Ford is just jumping all around, but Ford is also pushing very strong with the autonomous drive thing. Okay. So we've had a couple of Ford days overseas where they have gone with full autonomous drive.
Sure.
Okay. Some of our local journalists have sampled it as well. Really creepy, but they're trying to really
lead
the way. They're sitting there and they're making themselves a player up there. I'd say, and George would probably punch me in the head if he heard me say this, I think they're ahead of Apple in terms of autonomous driving.
Oh, no, he would strangle you.
But while Apple is sitting there and Apple's most regressed a little bit and they're saying they're now going to tie in with the manufacturer instead of just going, you know, and trying to develop it all in-house.
Yeah.
And it's very unlike them to sit and tie in. They like to develop everything and be,
be ahead of the game,
Hold on to control of everything. Whereas Google went in there and said, well, we're going to partner with these guys and these guys and these guys and to get Google Car going and their autonomous drive. So Google is leading it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that Ford's right up there. Tesla's doing some great things.
Sure.
Okay, so Tesla's Apple's,
let's
growing pains in Apple. But okay, so Ford came in, and they announced that they are partnering with, drumroll please, BlackBerry. Highball.
Why?
I'm just seeing a couple of problems here. One, it's going to take you about 15 minutes to start your car. As this thing starts booting up. And does it, security checks, etc., etc. You know, I'm like, you can't be in a rush if you're running BlackBerry.
No, man.
Yeah, it's tying in with BlackBerry. So BlackBerry has now conceded that they've lost the smartphone race. Research in Motion, RIM, has said that, listen, Google, Apple, Samsung.
We bow down.
You guys have got it. Yeah. Go. And of course, and I'm so glad that I don't get BlackBerry photos sent to me anymore. Hey, take a look at my nephew. Is that a nephew or a potato? Because I can't make out. Your BlackBerry camera is that bad. Okay.
And then Ford partnered. Oh, really?
And Ford partnered with them. So, I mean, they are opening up for a lot of ridicule here. But BlackBerry's trying to side and trying to tie in there and trying to get in and use some of the technology that they got. Like I said, they haven't quite said what is going to be, you know, the relationship quite, but they're alluding to the fact that they are going to be tying in with a Sync 4 system. Yeah. I believe it'll be Sync 4 now, and the autonomous drive. So I'm hoping that lessons have been learnt along the way.
Yeah. And yeah.
Because, I mean, if they haven't learnt anything, we are going to be sitting and Ford's just going to be going backwards. But I'm sure that, you know,
so you
guys
hope that
are smart
they prove us wrong.
I really am hoping that they prove us wrong.
Prove us wrong and then surprise us and do something beautiful.
Because what's the best infotainment system that you've managed to use? You know, what do you like? I mean, you've driven a couple of cars as well and you've used a couple of them. Mm. What sort of infotainment system works for you?
Look, I switch everything off and I read my lines in the car.
No, but I mean, when you're driving, I mean, do you like the MMI of an Audi?
Yes.
VW's got a decent system.
Not as good as the Audi, though.
Not as good as the Audi. You prefer the MMI of the Audi? Yeah. BMW?
No.
Not?
No.
I find BMW to be a little confusing at times. One that I really like is Mazda.
Hmm.
Mazda's got the MZD system. It comes across very simple, but it's actually quite powerful. And it comes across simple because it's just nice
and
simple.
A bit stereotyped. You know, how you get stereotyped, where you hold on to stuff and then you listen. When you explore others, you've got all that.
Yeah, you're constantly listening to the background.
Mm.
Mm. Okay. Well,
so for me, the audio system works better.
I found it to be a good system. I mean, with what they're doing now, it can be confusing at times as well if you don't know your way around it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think once you know it, then it's okay to navigate. Yeah. I struggle as well with the command system of the Mercedes-Benz sometimes, and they're not consistent between their models. They're not always.
They're still testing
consistent.
The watches. They're pushing the boundaries.
They're pushing boundaries. Yeah. So I think, you know, some of the bigger vehicles have got like experimental systems in them, whereas the smaller vehicles have got the older systems, which are like a little more, okay, let's just try and test, and I'm quite accustomed to it. But it's strange how you get very accustomed to having a nice operating and infotainment system in a car, and you climb into one that's just got like a JVC, you know, CD deck in it. You sit there and you're like,
what is that?
What does that do? What goes in here?
You know, my worry with all these touch panels, they need to be recalibrated once in a while.
Yeah, but you can recalibrate it yourself sometimes.
Yeah, but what's the lifespan of those things? I mean,
I haven't really picked up one that's got an issue.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, you'll have an issue with a display. The older cars, remember older Audis?
Yeah.
They used to have a problem with what was their TFT display. It was like the LCD display.
Yeah.
And you just have these black lines across it. BMW had the same with their infotainment. Wasn't really infotainment, but it was like the telephony system that they had, and it was a radio and the telephone all in one.
Mm-hmm.
5 series had it and that sort of stuff. And they'd have like these blank lines because it was essentially like a dot matrix sort of system. And I'm so thankful that we're over that. So we're away. All right. So you've been giving it some thought. In our last couple of minutes here, what would you want in your presidential vehicle?
It must have heated seats.
Well, I mean, you can go out and buy a car that's got heated seats now.
They must massage you. Like, I think the 7 Series, the one that you can remote park, has got that massage option to it. The back seat can massage your neck and stuff like that. That must be there. What else must be there? Look, because you've got this window enclosure that, like you said, so you're essentially in prison in your own
car. You are. So you really do need to think. So I'm going to go mini bar. Biltong humidor.
Look, bar, I don't know if they'll allow. I mean, whenever he's in that car,
mini bar, but a mini fridge, you know, at least throw a Coke or two in there.
Yeah, not alcohol.
What else?
Because if he's in that car, then he's definitely going to work, right?
Well,
Or he's coming from work.
I'd want a nice internet connection.
But who is he going to chat to? Oh, it's a 4-seater, he said.
Yeah, there's 4 people in the back. Yeah, I can take 4 people in the back,
so it's not going to work for the president because of the wives. So
they're not our local. Ooh. good question. Is there an armor-plated Siaya running around? I'll get a picture. All the president's wives and all the president's children heading out to Encanto.
That one must be 42 feet long. And it must be a 10-seater.
Because, I mean, have you ever actually noticed one of the, I don't want to say the president's vehicles, but one of the presidential sort of have you noticed the, you know, the armor plated one that runs in between them as well?
It's easy to pick, eh?
You can actually,
yeah, you can actually,
generally you can see it sitting a little bit lower.
Yeah,
it's, you can see that the windows are just that much thicker.
They start to look greenish even when they tint it.
Exactly,
you can pick up a greenish looking like, okay, that's an armored
one. Yeah, exactly, that's the armored one.
So that means what they should do, if, because the other ones are for mainly camouflage to confuse you, so you don't know which one he's in. Maybe they must spray those windows a little bit and lower the suspension a little bit just so it looks identical. Because you, like we say, I don't know if we like to. So we just told the people which car the president is in, right, Chad? We just did.
I'm not even sure if that's a problem.
Hey, and
the man's on thin ice as is.
If he must be sure, don't shoot at the back. He might just be driving himself.
No, he's not allowed to drive.
Yeah.
I'm actually wondering if it's the same, and I'm pretty sure it is the same for the local president.
Yes,
I know, like, you know, political leaders, they can still drive. I know that Julius has got a host of...
Doesn't he drive a G-Wagon or something like that?
No, the guy's got a couple of modified cars. He likes his cars.
Oh, yes.
Julius likes
his
cars.
He's got toys,
my man.
Yes, I remember.
Julius has got toys.
Why doesn't he ever flash them around? I want to see...
tender.
He likes his meat tender. No, but so what should be in the president's car? Obviously some entertainment system, like he needs to be watching the news, or sometimes maybe they switch off. And
I would say that it is just I would want a nice proper internet connection. I want to have access to news reports X, Y, and Z, because you'd be surprised how much the media can let out. Access to social media. You want? I'm not saying that I want to sit there and tweet from it, but social media is
just so you see,
runs
you know what's
faster
going on.
Than some of the traditional media outlets. So yeah, sure. Nice internet connection. I don't think I'd want crazy stuff like an ejector seat or anything of the sorts. I mean, that's just
isn't there one?
A bit nutty.
Don't they get one?
No. I mean, come on.
But and then,
so
but
you're
then,
sitting there and boom, there goes the.
But the
toupee.
President kid is a firearm, right?
The president?
Yeah.
Say again.
Look, I mean, if the armored vehicle has got that pump action gun,
yeah,
he has to carry maybe like a little 2.2 yenasa or something. I don't know. In case stuff happens, and like your
I think he has to rely. I think he has to pretty much rely on the
the bodyguard.
Yeah, his security detail.
Yeah, okay.
You know, okay. State security. Well, we still want to hear what you guys think should be in the presidential vehicle. And what do you think would be in our president's vehicle?
He must have a printer. Because he doesn't use a tablet. He uses papers to make a speech. There's got to be a printer in there.
Okay, but then that's one less person for all the Typex, the reams of Typex that he's got in there. Because this oak's printing it on font size 37. You know, Moss. All right, folks. Well, we've had a little bit of a laugh here. We want to thank you very much for joining us here on Auto Central. That's all the time we've got for today. And I think normal programming will resume next week. And thank you very much for joining us. Do get in touch with us, all our social media channels. Go and take a look at our videos on the YouTube channel, Auto Trader South Africa. We got Instagram. We got Facebook. We got Pinterest. We got LinkedIn.
We're everywhere.
Everybody
can
catch. At Chad Lookoff, if you guys want to chat to us directly. And we'll, of course, share that with Auto Trader and the like. So hashtag Auto Central, hashtag the president should have, and see what we put in their car. But from myself, Chad Lukoff,
and Tepo Maseko,
we hope you guys have an absolute fantastic week. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.